Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Senator Lisa Murkowski has released legislation to open part of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Alaska Public Media reports that if approved by the Senate Energy Committee Murkowski chairs, the refuge provision released yesterday would become part of the Senate Budget Reconciliation Bill, along with the Republican tax cuts. Murkowski's part of the bill would lift the ban on drilling in the so-called 1002 area along the coastal plain. It would split revenues 50-50 between the state and federal government. The Alaska Statehood Compact calls for a 90-10 split favoring the state, but Governor Bill Walker said last week he's fine with an even split if it leads to the long-sought development of the refuge. Murkowski says the Congressional Budget Office has concluded the legislation would raise more than $1 billion over 10 years, which was a requirement under the budget plan Congress passed. She plans to debate the measure in her committee next week. Most of the panel's Democrats ardently oppose drilling in the refuge. Only one Democrat on the committee, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, is on the record in favor of ANWR drilling. Still, there's little doubt Murkowski has the votes to advance the measure to the Senate floor. A deregulation bill aimed at boosting energy production on federal lands cleared a U.S. House committee yesterday. Alaska Public Media reports that the legislation, known as the Secure American Energy Act, would remove several limits on Arctic drilling. It would undo former President Obama's decision to close off most Arctic waters to leasing and allow states to take over management of oil and gas development on federal land. Alaska Congressman Don Young says states would do a better job because Young claims federal employees try to block development.
They don't want to drill oil. I wish they'd just fess up to it. Then at least we know for sure that where their loyalty lies. But I really believe if we don't continue to do what we need to do in Alaska and the western states, that we will fall back in that trap of having be dependent upon the Middle East countries.
Young says he also likes that the bill would share offshore revenues with coastal states. Alaska would get 37.5% of the proceeds from leasing and development in federal Arctic waters. Katie Siddall of the Wilderness Society says the bill is part of a broader sellout campaign.
This is a bill that is par for the course and what we're seeing out of not just the House, but the Senate and the administration on trying to drill anywhere these guys can and hand off our public lands to private interests.
Siddall says if states take over regulations, the public would lose transparency and opportunities to weigh in. Siddall says one of the bill's worst provisions is that it would scrap 2016 federal safety rules for offshore Arctic drilling.
It's already one of the most dangerous places to explore for oil and gas, and this just, one, it makes it easier to drill, and two, it makes it even more dangerous.
Young says the Obama administration's Arctic drilling regulations make future exploration nearly impossible. The Secure bill now moves to the House floor. It's sponsored by House Majority Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana. His leadership position makes it likely the bill will be brought up for a vote. Groundwater contamination has been found at Fairbanks International Airport. The airport announced yesterday that per- and polyfluoroalkyl, or PFAS, compounds historically contained in firefighting foams have been detected in groundwater around aircraft rescue and training areas. Airport spokeswoman Angie Spear says the concentrations detected are higher than Federal Environmental Protection Agency health advisory levels, and there's concern about spread to private property.
FAI is working with an environmental consulting firm and the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation to identify and sample private water wells west of the airport beginning Monday morning, November 13th.
Spear says the first phase of the project is to assess exposure risk and to provide alternative drinking water sources to affected property owners.
Future phases may include source area delineation and additional sampling and groundwater monitoring.
An airport news release says the water-based firefighting foams containing per- and polyfluoroalkyl compounds, or PFAS, have been used at Fairbanks International during training exercises and emergency response events for many years. PFAS compounds have also been found in groundwater on and outside Eielson Air Force Base around Moose Creek, as well as in a South Fairbanks neighborhood near a firefighting training center. PFAS compounds were commonly used in fire suppression foams, as well as oil, grease, and stain repellent coatings on a broad range of products. EPA began regulation of manufacture and use of PFAS compounds in 2000, but the substances commonly persist in water worldwide, and most people test positive for them. Research to understand health impacts is ongoing, but some studies have linked the compounds to a range of problems, including increased risk for some cancers. Budgeting is the main focus as the University of Alaska Board of Regents meets today and tomorrow in Anchorage. A letter to the university community from UA President Jim Johnson outlines key agenda items, including the FY19 spending plan and tuition increases. Other things on the region's two-day agenda include UA's strategic pathways downsizing and restructuring effort, Title IX compliance, and President Johnson's contract. Icy conditions have challenged crews clearing roads and runways around the interior, KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
National Weather Service climate specialist Rick Toman says an unusually warm and wet October set the stage for formation of the stubborn ice that's slickened roads all around the interior.
It was very mild, and we had an inordinately large number of either mixed rain and snow events, or at valley level at least, just straight rain events. Unusually late in the year.
Toman says later in October, precipitation that fell during above-freezing daytime temperatures froze to the roadways and other such surfaces when it cooled down at night.
By the time we get to the second half of October, we're not getting much heating from the sun anymore, and it's hard to stay above freezing for any length of time at night. So when we get water on the roads, it's the perfect setup for icy roads.
Even more so because most of the precipitation that fell during October came in liquid form, not snowfall, which is more typical this time of year.
We had the third highest precipitation total of any October in Fairbanks in the last 100-plus years. But our snowfall at the airport, only 5.3 inches. That's significantly below normal.
And that's why many State Department of Transportation workers are literally working overtime to try and make the area's roadways safer.
This year, the Department of Transportation has applied far more traction aids than we used last year.
Department spokeswoman Meadow Bailey says workers have been applying traction aids such as sand and gravel especially heavily over the past week.
So we were really struggling and trying to fight the accumulation of ice on the roadways.
The de-icing battle also is being waged on airfield runways. Deputy Transportation Commissioner John Binder said last week that workers at Fairbanks International Airport have had to use much more de-icing solution over the past couple of weeks than is normal for this time of year.
Fairbanks here this last week has had a horrible week as far as freezing rain and whatnot. They spent almost a quarter of their budget already this year, just in this last week, on their de-icing chemical. 5,000 gallons they put down in just a couple days.
Spokeswoman Sammy Loud says the airports had to spend a lot more on de-icing fluid this September than the previous September.
For fiscal year 17 in September, we spent $144,000 on de-icing fluid versus this last September in fiscal year 18, we used $252,000.
Loud says so far this fiscal year, the airport's spent nearly two-thirds of the amount it spent on de-icing agents in all of the previous fiscal year.
So the entire amount that we used on de-icing measures last year was $358,000. And then to date this year, we've used $205,000.
Loud says the airport uses both solid and liquid de-icing agents, as well as, in some situations, plain old sand. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.